me read a couple scriptures to you. One of them we read last night.
I was here.
Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place. And all the people shall answer and say, Amen.
Now, where was that from?
Deuteronomy 27.
I didn't say Amen last night, I had to say Amen.
Did you?
I mean, this isn't just let's show up and have a nice time at Bible study.
This is freedom.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I can't see that.
See, I have to confess the other side of the fence. Because I feel like I've just been run through the ringer for about a year. And it's like I think, okay, here comes another ringer.
There's
I don't want to be found in the position of taking things lightly, but I all of a sudden I just can't pump it up to
it's scaring me.
To get all freaked out.
Good.
Cool.
The
I'm doing it for both of them.
What a bro.
I imagine sitting there for a week if you're not seeing.
We went to the killing fields the other night, and there's this sequence where the American reporter and his friends get taken into custody by the communists. And it's these nasty little 90-pound guys are pushing him and shoving him, hitting him and chattering at him and taunting him and doing all this stuff to him. And I found myself getting angrier and angrier as I watched it. And they were like sort of cowering and trying to not do anything to aggravate them, hoping that they would get out alive. And as it got more and more intense, I found myself feeling like, in that situation, there comes a time where you just stand up and say, kill me, you little shit. And I sort of feel that.
I was feeling kind of weird when I was making out my list. I didn't think I'd have time to make out my list, but I made a lot of time today to make out my list. And, you know, it's like, oh, this is another thing. And I wanted to get it all down. So, I'm kind of not looking forward to it, but looking forward to having it behind me because I can see it.
Yeah. I'm tired of it because I feel like I'm just controlled by emotions. I mean, I'm afraid of the next emotion that's going to come. And for me, it's mostly anger. I want to be in control of that.
Well, a lot of the... Obviously, the two extremes are total panic and total boredom. With it. And so, most of you lie at either end or somewhere in between. And both of them, both positions, are because you don't yet understand it. There's the panic comes from the unknown, the not understanding, for some of you it comes because you can't understand how any life could be any different than to be controlled by emotions. And for others, the boredom comes from what profiteth it is to us to serve the Lord. I mean, it's a vain thing to serve God. This is just another bunch of shit. Remember that beast that raised itself from the dead had 7 heads. 10 crowns. And there's one of the beasts that's really alive and controlling, but the other ones are all the influences, and that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with these 7 heads of the beast. You understand that?
Yeah.
Now, every one of those positions where you're controlled by emotions, where you define your success or failure by its emotional content, is an enemy of faith. It's It's called a molten image. And your true identity is free. It's been free all along. Now you've been as those that have been in prison. You've been in a hole in the ground, in prison. And God says, okay, now it's time to come forth. It's time to get out of prison. And for some of you, you feel you've been up for parole 15 times beforehand. And you're saying, I'm not going to make it. The parole's not going to be approved. And for others, you've been in jail so long that you have no idea what freedom is, and so you're panicked by it.
Trusting your operation.
So the idea of freedom, true freedom, where you can commend yourself openly, manifesting openly to every man's conscience in the sight of God, when there's total abandonment of self, where there's never a thought for your own security, your own safety, where the heritage is joy and freedom, certainty and faith, mercy. Those are frightening concepts to someone that's been in prison all their life. Some of you have, you know, been up before the parole board so many times that you know it's not gonna work. And what you're doing to God then is you're saying it's a vain thing to serve God. Not smart to say that. Understand? Let me read a couple places. Ephraim is the generic term throughout the scriptures for self-seeking. You understand that? Remember the wine of Ephraim? Self-seeking has has seven heads. Here's what Hosea 13. When Ephraim spake trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. But when he offended in Baal, he died. And now they sin more and more, and have made them molten images of their silver, and idols according to their own understanding, all of it the work of the craftsmen. They say of them, let the men that sacrifice kiss, or men that lead the sacrifice kiss the salves, or make the sacrifice. Therefore they shall be as the morning cloud, and as the early dew that passeth away, as the chaff that is driven with the whirlwind out of the floor, and as the smoke out of the chimney. Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. According to their pasture, so were they filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. Therefore I will be unto them as a lion, as a leopard by the way will I observe them. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, and will rend the call of their heart, and there will I devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. I will be thy king. Where is any other that may save thee in all thy cities? And thy judges of whom thou saidest, give me a king and a prince, I gave thee a king in mine anger, and took him away in my wrath. The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up, his sin is bid. The sorrows of a travailing woman shall come upon him. He is an unwise son. Proper translation, he's an illegitimate son. For he would not stay long in the place of the breaking forth of children. I will ransom thee from the power of the grave. I will redeem thee from death. O death, I will be thy plague. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. Though he be fruitful among his brethren, an east wind shall come. The wind of the Lord shall come up from the wilderness, and his spring shall become dry. His fountain shall be dried up. He shall spoil the treasures of all pleasant vessels. Samaria shall become desolate, for she hath rebelled against her God. They shall fall by the sword, their inhabitants be dashed in pieces, and the women with child shall be ripped up. Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words, and turn to the Lord, and say unto him, take away all iniquity, receive us graciously, so we will render the sacrifice of our lips. Asher shall not save us, We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, you are our gods. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow up as the lily, and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as an olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn, and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any longer with idols? I have heard him, and have seen him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise? And he shall understand these things, prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. But the transgressors shall fall therein. Now, most of you still don't have a picture, a feeling, an understanding of what the graven images are. There's a whole lot of scriptures you could study and you could look at it, but the only way you're going to emotionalize, so to speak, the graven image is to see it in your brethren, to see it with clarity. And to see how it's, though it's been marred, you've taken royal robes and covered over the marring. And so you've decked it in purple and in gold in your head. Now, my problem is with this, normally I'd be first in the process. But I don't know of any molten images that I have. That's why people say I'm not real. Because I've never worshipped emotion. I've never worshipped or given breath to the feeling or the emotional content of a situation. Help me out if you see any in me. But I don't know any in myself. I'm sure there must be.
What about in relation to Tyra?
What about it?
I mean, can you see any? I guess you can't. You just
sit. Any images about what your relationship with her should be like?
No, both of us have said with total clarity that I don't love her, I love the Lord. She's just the icing on the cake.
Well, but you said one time that you could never see yourself riding with her or something like that.
Well, I can't. But that doesn't mean it won't happen. I mean, I don't expect it. I don't have any image of that'll ever happen. But I can't imagine that being a molten image.
But if it does happen, will that blow you away?
Of course not. But I may identify some with your help as you go through yours. Now, my question to you is, does everyone understand what this is about? Well, I know Louis doesn't. He just got here, but you can listen to some tapes.
Molten idols are feelings, that we're saying?
A success or failure defined by emotional content rather than by some specific plan that's the graven image. Okay, this is what I'm going to do, or this is what I feel, I'm going to be rich, or I'm going to have $1 million in 6 months. Or
Visualization type stuff.
Yeah. Molten images are those things that that have the emotional content.
Well, I only have one that I can just nail right on the head, that I can see, and that's love. I can see it with clarity that's the time periods between relationships that I had, like in high school and before, and even after, it was like I was a dead man between those times when I felt that feeling. But I was just waiting. It was like a seed lying in the ground waiting until some rain came down. So I can see that. That's what's been buffeted about.
Well, that was the whole problem with us getting married in the first place.
I don't love it.
Well, the feeling wasn't there all the time, so you do think that it would be. So you couldn't get married because the feeling wasn't there all the time.
Let me read another scripture. Habakkuk 2. Read the whole thing on your own, but thou art filled with shame for glory. In other words, you're filled with shame, but you call it glory. You understand?
Yeah.
Drink thou also, and let thy foreskin be uncovered. That's not talking about your pee-pee, it's talking about the foreskin of your heart. Let your foreskin be uncovered. How can you do that? The only one way, by openness. The cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee, and shameful spewing shall be thy glory. In other words, you're going to see what you've really been doing. For the violence of Lebanon shall cover thee, and the spoil of the beast which made them afraid, because of men's blood, and for the violence of the land of the city, and all that dwell therein. What profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it, and the molten image? It's a teacher of lies that the maker of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols. Woe unto him that saith to the wood, thing in your mind that's been covered with gold or silver, awake! You see where you do that? You've got an image in your mind, and you're sitting there calling for that image to be awake. Mm-hmm. To the dumb stone, arise!
Give me life.
It shall teach me. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver. There's no breath at all in the midst of it or in it. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Now let all the earth keep silence before him. Now, you know, I could go on and on. I don't know how many, I haven't counted them, but many, many, many places throughout the scriptures that are talking about the molten image and how the molten image defines a condition in by which that which you call glory from a spiritual standpoint is in truth shame. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by his suffering. Therefore, glory in tribulation. But every time one of you get in tribulation, you end up, oh, poor me, what am I done wrong? What's this? I got to do this and this and this to change it. That's all caused by your definition, your emotional content. Now, your biggest, you all think your biggest molten idol is love. No, it isn't. Your biggest molten idol, your molten image, is what you define as religion should be. Now, you don't think you do it because you don't think your life is religion. Anyway, we'll get into that one later. But I sense that there's not one accord here. There's things going on. Is it, Daryl?
I hear what you're saying. And like I said before, I mean, the last thing I want to do is walk in here and start saying, you know, I take this lightly and so forth and so on. But it's hard for me to, I have a hard time getting a grasp on this. You know, one I can put my finger on real fast is just guilt, which then, like I was talking to Harry last night, it became real clear to me. He said guilt translated into anger, and that's right. That one I can see and agree with, and that probably controls me in a large way.
Do you understand what you're doing with that? Do you understand in truth that that guilt is the silver molten image for which and by which you are redeeming yourself, and the blood of Christ is no value to you?
Yes, sir. I sat around all the day thinking about this, and I just said, I'm just sick of everything. I'm sick of having regard for myself.
Every man is brutish. What does brutish mean?
Like an animal.
Like an animal. Why is he like an animal?
Stubborn.
Because he makes his judgments after the definition of his senses. Every man is brutish by his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image. His molten image is falsehood. There is no breath in them. They are vanity, the work of error. In the time of their visitation, they shall perish. The portion of Jacob, which is our true self, from which Israel is coming forth, the portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things. And Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war, for with thee will I break in pieces. Understand? The weapon, the axe that, or the sword or the axe or whatever it was that Abraham used when he went into the house of idolatry, and he broke down the 500 graven images and molten images that were within that. The weapon was God himself. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now we're talking about big time strongholds. I'm sick and tired of having Bible study interrupted by your sloth. I'm sick and tired of not being able to speak and not having the freedom to speak because some leaven has leavened the whole lump, and that leaven is the giving breath or worshiping of the molten image that may be in here at the time. Now I'm not ready to start this process until you understand its importance. You know, I have no idea what's going to happen. I was talking to Rick today. And Rick was talking to me, mostly. And he said, I finally understand. You don't have any idea what's going to happen next. You're right. I don't have all this little down, sat down, page figured out. I don't know what's going to happen next. We may end up with a third world war in here. We may end up destroying the body by this process.
I was thinking about this, you know, we call it hot seat, but, you know, we don't know that it's going to be like that. We don't know that it's going to be, you know, we have an idea of what hot seat's like. And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking I can see how they're gods to me because I fear them. Fear the emotions instead of fearing God. I fear the emotion. I fear what's going to happen next that's going to pull me off track, what's going to make me fear. And like you said, when that's happening, I can't hear. You know, all I can do is think about my problem or whatever. So I can see that.
I was sitting here thinking, why do I feel so weird? I mean, when I got here, I was really kind of numb. You know, I didn't feel one way or the other, and I started feeling weird, and then you said there was something going on. I said, well, maybe it's me. I don't know. When we first started talking about this stuff, I understood it. It was great. And then...
Who stole my pen?
Last night when we were... It's in your Bible.
Yeah, it's spoken up. Chill.
Last night when we were talking about it, and you mentioned hot seat, all of a sudden I got this image of... hot seat now.
Oh, shit.
Before that, I wasn't even thinking about it, but I got the image in my brain. I thought, oh, shit. And then I talked to Daryl today, and he was talking stuff, and he was saying things. I don't want to be another hot seat. I don't want to, you know, I'm tired of just being wiped out all the time, blah, blah, blah. I thought, yeah. Yeah, so I guess I was getting here thinking, you know, I didn't have those feelings before. I mean, and I was sitting here thinking, I don't really feel that way. I guess I made an alliance with him, and I just thought, I wonder if that's what's going on. Because
yeah.
I agreed with him, but yet, for some weird reason of maybe, you know, sharing something fleshly with him, or I don't know. I don't know why. Because I don't know. At the moment, I guess it's me.
Yeah, I got bothered by that earlier. Not me, but seeing it in somebody else. Buck is scared shitless about the hot seat because of the imagery that's been given to him about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, you know, I don't know, just to force that on somebody.
It's like when we first said this the other night. The minute you said it, it was like something in my head just went open.
Yeah.
And I could hear it, I could see it, I could emotionalize it, I could experience the joy, the freedom. But it's like in the intervening days, I don't know if I've thought about it too much or what, but it's become cloudier and scarier and scarier and more gray and foggy. Whereas when we first said it, it was instantly clear.
Well, we've had time to really decorate it up.
Another thing I was thinking is you were saying, gotta get this done before I leave. I know it doesn't matter, but I was thinking, okay, gotta think of all these things, we gotta hurry up.
Well, my response was, oh great, Ollie's gonna get us really fucked up, then he's gonna go out of town. Yeah, we're gonna just be like, feed me.
Part of me felt a lot of freedom today, and then the other half of me, it's like, it just hearing Ollie on the radio today, or seeing him, it's like, I totally start fearing them. It goes back to one of my things, fearing people, thinking people that are more important that I can't say something to or have a response to. And I don't want that. I mean, I want, even if I'm totally out of control or I'm mad at him or whatever he says, I want to be able to yell at him or whatever. Yeah.
The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall arouse or stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. I have long time holden my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. Got that?
Could you read that again? Where is that from?
Isaiah 42. I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have never known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them, and not forsake them. Now, there's a lot of things that, you know, you can't tell somebody right off the bat. Like, you can't say to you, I couldn't have said to you a few months ago that there's only two conditions in the spirit. There's either laying down your life for your brethren, or there's murdering. There's nothing else.
That's exactly what Mitch was saying.
When?
Just out front. He said he can see by the, you know, what I said, not only can you not minister, if you can't minister, you're murdering.
That's right. You understand that? From God's standpoint, you're either laying down your life or you're murdering.
You're dying with
your death. So it has nothing to do with the activity.
No.
You know, for me, or maybe I have a weird sense of logic, but all this stuff is just flaws in the face of logic. I mean, with high places, you could kind of use a certain kind of logic to understand, but I mean, it may just be that the logic is just what the lie that the masses are feeding on about what emotions are good and what emotions are bad. Because you have to say, when you say this isn't a good feeling, because it's associated with this kind of image, you know, you're saying, you know, it's something that everybody says yes, and it's the logic in your brain says this is...
Hear me. There's nothing wrong with the emotion or the feeling. The only thing wrong is the source of it.
And the fact that it controls you, right?
You understand?
You're not.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is like being madly in love with someone compulsively.
Fun.
You know what I'm saying? The compulsive thing is looked up in society as the esteemed play. Because that's all we know.
What do you mean the source of emotion?
If the source of the emotion, if you perceive the source of the emotion, of all feeling, is anything other than God Himself, then there's nothing wrong with the emotion. What's wrong is the perception of its origin.
But it doesn't, I mean, there's only one source.
That's right.
For all emotions.
For all things. God is all and in all. If you've perceived, if you are thinking that, if you are avoiding fear, and you're structuring your life to avoid fear, then you are avoiding God.
Yeah.
If you are structuring your life to gain approval or gain love, or chasing love, and you've seen that as in some identifiable thing other than God, a woman namely, then you are worshiping that instead of God. God is the source. This is so simple. God is the source of all. And all of it is useful for a time, for a purpose. You understand that? But there's nothing there that doesn't have its source in God. But when you ascribe the source to something, or the end, or you'll get this if you do this, and all of the other cause and effect relationships that we've talked about in graven images, if you ascribe those to other than God, then you are worshiping something other than the Father. Do you understand that? It's as simple as that. You're feeling badly about the wrong thing. You think what I'm telling you is what the love that will come forth. You may have a molten image of love, but it's so far less than the real love that it isn't worthy to be compared with. You may fear fear, and therefore structure your life away from it. Just like you may not, most of you don't know anything, you've never been in love with someone, you've been in love with love.
Yeah.
Most of you have never feared anything, you've been afraid of fear.
And that's worshiping us.
Am I communicating at all?
Yeah. Yesterday I was thinking about this, and Don and I were talking about this love thing and my images of love, and it's like, I know at this point that my image of love is an idol. But the way what I was feeling was like, you know, I have my hand on this idol, and I know this idol is dead. I know it's a false idol. But it's like, I need, before I can let go, I was feeling like I needed to see what real love is. I wanted to have real, grab onto real love first, because I didn't want to be without, you know, anything.
Yeah.
Even though I know it's dead. Road. Yeah.
I think I've had a construct of judging feelings to be either good or evil, and then ascribing a source, God, the source of good ones, and Satan,
yeah,
the devil, the source of
or circumstances.
The same thing with circumstances, all that stuff.
Okay. Everybody got a handle on this.
Yeah.
Harry's the first.
That's the single most unnerving thing I've ever seen.
Harry, you're out. The toilet system farted.
Nothing to fear
but the toilet.
I was expecting that. And he says, well, I can't be the first one, so...
I think I wasn't surprised. So it'll be my best man.
Here's the Medicare, what's his name? What's the
Bozo.
Bozo Clown.
Yeah, you got picked up by the Bozo Arrow.
Wheel of Fortune.
Plenty of ointment.
Yeah.
There
you go.
What are
you saying?
Disgusting.
Plenty of ointment. It's a joke.
Exactly.
It's not worth
explaining.
Trust me.
Yeah. I feel like, oh. Does he have to sit somewhere?
So we're only talking about molten image?
Right here.
Because we've covered the other stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty
good. Good thing you're there.
No, I mean, that's what the high place, yeah. The hot seat was before, was the graven images.
By holding up a mirror and going,
oh.
Boom. Oh. Nah. Let's get a chair right there.
Harry, visibly relaxed.
Get a little fire going.
Underneath.
I'll
take the image of the chair. I'll
try to close up the chair.
No, I'm just
you're gonna get out of the way, is that what you're
saying?
Yeah.
No, I'm gonna move this stuff up. No, I'm nervous for you. Hope it makes you feel better. Do you want a pillow for your chair? Crunch, crunch.
I want to say something before he starts. You know, I don't want to be the leaven in this group, and I don't want any alliances, and I don't want anybody to have any disbelief because of anything they may perceive that I feel or don't feel.
Well, I don't think so, probably.
Okay, because today, I was looking at the back door. This is when it came to me. I mean, who cares when I was looking at the back door. It was like I was thinking about leaven, specifically, and it was like I kept thinking, you know, let there be no leaven found in my house, you know, and that's all I could think of over and over, just because I was thinking, I mean, that thing about shush, and the world's gone, and there you're going, you know. So there.
Yeah. Father, we present ourselves to you, a living sacrifice. Let your spirit go deep within Harry, that he might see and understand. He might confess and open to that which is an abomination unto you. The grace be manifest. It's necessary for him to accomplish this with clarity. We pray the latter rain will fall on all here tonight. That there will be no shadows of turning, no grays, no lukewarm. But everything crystalline, clear, black or white. We might see your perfection as all and in all. And we might overcome the evil one in his last bastion of feeling. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.